education center where donated cars make new lives. Newgate is a local school where students learn tuition-free how to work on donated cars just like yours. And the school part is very important because it's the only place to donate your car around here that is a school. And because your car that you donate can go towards learning, you can get the best tax deduction around. Newgate should be your first call if you're looking to donate your car. 612-378-0177 or newgateschool.org. Definitely call them if you're even thinking about donating your car. They're happy to answer all of your questions. 612-378-0177. It's a great staff. I was down at Newgate about a week ago, reminded again what an awesome school it is. They're passionate about the mission. The teachers are fantastic. And the students are motivated because their lives are being changed right there on your donated car. You donate your car to Newgate, get a great tax benefit, and the students get great benefit as well. 612-378-0177 or newgateschool.org. Newgate Education Center, where donated cars make new lives.
Amstel Light invites you inside our Amsterdam brewery for a bit of our brewer's light conversation.
Peter, Amstel Light has so much more flavor than other light beers, but they use the same ingredients. Water, hops, and barley.
Barely.
I thought it was pronounced barley.
I'm saying some other lights supplement their barley with other, less flavorful ingredients. Hence, less beer flavor.
So, beers with barely any barley are barely beers at all?
Basically.
Full-flavored Amstel Light. The beer drinker's light. Please enjoy Amstel Light responsibly. Amstel Light Lager Beer, Amstel USA, White Plains, New York.
Hey, it's Chris Hockey, the Power Trip Morning Show. Again, I hope you woke up feeling great, but if you didn't, if your babies didn't, if your wife didn't, if your husband didn't, check out VirtueWell.com. VirtueWell. VirtueWell by Health Partners. It's a convenient 24/7 online service for treatment of common illnesses so you can get better faster. Staffed by nurse practitioners, they review your symptoms, give you a personalized treatment plan, and a prescription if you need one in 30 minutes or less. VirtueWell.com. Check it out today. VirtueWell. VirtueWell.com.
Want LASIK? Now is the time to get additional savings at Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care. Use your Flex Saving account to save up to 30% off your LASIK. But don't wait, because Dr. David Whiting is in high demand. So visit WhitingClinic.com today to schedule your free LASIK exam.
Now that the holiday parties are in full swing, guys are stopping by Men's Warehouse, where it's buy one, get one free on everything in the store.
Yes, this is Ron Harvey, and this is going to be my first Christmas party where I had to mingle with all of the fellas that wear suits and everything. The party is tonight. I was just over at your store, and I look great. George, I appreciate it.
Glad to hear it, Ron. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
Buy one, get one free at Men's Warehouse. Sale excludes shoes. Other restrictions apply. See store for details.
Christmas comes a day early at Sensors. On Christmas Eve, enjoy a fantastic breakfast or come for lunch and get a $10 gift card to use next year. They're open till 4:30 on Christmas Eve, so get your seat early, have a killer breakfast with $2 bloodies and screwdrivers, then settle in to watch football. Enjoy breakfast or lunch on Christmas Eve and get a $10 Sensors gift card for next year. And if you need a last-second gift, buy a $50 Sensors gift card and get a free $10 card for yourself. Only at Joe Sensors Sports Theaters in Roseville, Plymouth, and Bloomington, and at Sensors.com.
Visit your local AT&T store to register to win a sports night out for six. You can win six tickets to see your favorite NHL team and dinner before the game. Head to KFAN.com and visit the AT&T inbox to find the store closest to you.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates, cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient, getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Houston Law Firm. They got your back with over 15 years experience defending dads. More info at lawyerfordad.com.
On third and seven from the 10, Ponder out of the shotgun, shovels to Toby up the middle inside the 10 to the 5, dives for the goal line, touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
third and seven from the 10. Ponder out of the shotgun. Shovels to Toby up the middle inside the 10 to the 5. Dive for the goal line. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and a happy holiday season from all of us here with the Minnesota Vikings and Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park from the Sports Authority Studios, provided by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and of course by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach, coming up a little later. Jared Allen, defensive end, Vikings, also coming up a little later. Likewise for Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com to handicap the Vikings and the Redskins. But per usual, we are joined by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. Happy holiday season, my friend.
Thank you, Paul.
Able to appreciate the holidays from the grind that is the 2011 season?
No doubt about it. I mean, this is a great time of the year. It's a holiday season. You know, our family gets together for a change and gets a chance to experience Christmas. So, yes, we're excited about this time of the year.
Family coming in from around the country or just the immediate family here?
My immediate family here, but we also have, you know, kids throughout the different parts of the country that will come home. So we look forward to seeing our having our family together.
You have a very sharp son not many people know about listening now, Karan, who works here behind the scenes for the Minnesota Vikings. What does he do?
Well, he's an legal assistant. Works in our law department here at Minnesota with our Kevin Warren, the head of our legal department here, and he's learned a great deal from him, got his degree at William Mitchell Law School, and we're excited about what he's learning and the experience that he's getting.
Is it the ultimate in pride from a father standpoint when, I mean, you're the head coach of a football team and your son works within the organization, and it's not a nepotism thing? It's not like, well, we're just going to slide him in there. He has no skills or anything. Like you said, he went to William Mitchell, and he wants to eventually become a lawyer or something, right?
Yeah, exactly right, and the fact that he has his law degree, the fact that he has been sworn in, it's exciting. You know, very proud of him and looking forward to see where his career takes.
Redskins this weekend, more on that coming up later. Are there any things that you can just identify top of your head right now, Leslie, where this season fell off as badly as it did? I mean, to say the team has a losing record would be one thing. And I know coming into the season you had playoffs as an expectation, but can you just rattle off some things for the fans as to why it fell off so badly?
And there are a number of factors that have, you know, played into where we are now. And we've got a lot of work to do this offseason to try to get things turned around so we're never, you know, in this position again. And got a lot of things we have to address when this season is done.
What will you personally change next year from a head coaching standpoint?
I think probably the number one thing is just making sure I look at everything in its totality and just making sure that we make some good decisions about certain things that have to happen in order for you to have a chance to win.
What would some of those things be? I mean, just looking at your first full season as a head coach, I know the self-scouting is yet to be done. Maybe we'll have this chat at the combine or in front of the draft. But just, you know, like, geez, I should have done it this way and I'll do it better next year.
You know, one of the things you have to do, and we'll get a chance to do this when the offseason is over, is just have a real good feel of where you are roster-wise, have a real good feel of where you are schematically, a real good feel of where you are staff-wise, and just being able to go through all the things that you want to go through this offseason and having a normal offseason will help us being able to do that.
What's wrong with the pass defense? And I know that has to trouble you. I mean, you've been a defensive coordinator the majority of your career, and, you know, you keep hearing about it, and it's legitimate. You have 40 sacks, 32 from the defensive line, and no interceptions since the Arizona game.
No, it's a concern, and, you know, our depth there, we're really into our depth now, and it makes it tough for the guys that are back there, but I know they're playing hard. They're doing the best that they can, and we've got to find a way to try to help them with some of the things that we're trying to do. But it's been great that our pass rush has been pretty consistent throughout the year, and we have a couple ball games remaining, and hopefully we'll get some interceptions in these final two games.
Will the secondary be an offseason priority with free agency or the draft?
Has to be. You know, we are not nearly what we want to be as a secondary, so we have to really take a look at what we can do to improve our secondary. You don't have a chance in our league, the way they spread you out now, if you don't shore up your secondary. So we have to improve that area for sure.
Is it fair to properly analyze Christian Ponder under these circumstances?
You know, with Christian, you have to give him an opportunity as a rookie to grow and develop. And he's getting some experience now that I think is going to be very valuable for his future and for our long-term future as an organization and a football team. But an off-season will help him dramatically. And looking forward to our coaches having a chance to have a full off-season with him and watching his maturation over this next season.
Out of all of his starts, correct me if I'm wrong here, I mean, we've seen the pick six to Mario Hagan in the Denver game, had some bad interceptions in the Oakland game, had some wonderful throws in the Atlanta game, Jenkins on Charles Woodson in the Packers game at Mall of America Field. Just like the maturation of a first-year guy, we've seen up, we've seen down. Mm-hmm. For the first time in the New Orleans game, we saw his feet get jittery in the pocket early in the game when the protection broke down in the middle. Did you notice that, and how much of a concern is it?
Well, I think it's a product of some things that have happened over the last few weeks for him. And, you know, we have to make sure that he maintains his confidence and knows that he's capable of getting the ball out and he can recognize things. So part of what he's experiencing now is what a lot of young players, young rookie quarterbacks have experienced. And as he goes through and he goes back and look at the tape, he'll be able to get a little bit better from some of these situations.
Is Toby Gerhart capable of being a number one running back in the NFL?
Oh, without question. I mean, he showed that in Adrian's absence that he can carry the load. I mean, he had some very productive games for us. We have a lot of confidence in Toby, and when he gets in the game, we don't change our game plan, and we still continue to run the same plays we would if Adrian were in there.
Why is Toby more comfortable executing the screen than Adrian Peterson?
Some of it has to do with, you know, probably some of the things that he was able to do in college versus what Adrian was able to do. I mean, Adrian is a guy who has been handed off to me, and I'm going to hit the home run. And but he has developed his pass-catching skills over the last few years to the point where he's much better at it. But his style of running is a little bit different than Toby's, and Toby's an excellent screen runner.
Leslie, is there an art for running back selling the screen, you know, with how you leave the backfield and how you get out to the flat?
That's part of it. I mean, being able to deceive the linebackers who sometimes are in man coverage or in zone to make them feel as if you're there to block first and not released, and then, you know, eventually getting out. And Toby does a good job of selling the fact that I'm blocking and then releasing late.
Speaking of Adrian, he had that nice 39-yard run against the New Orleans Saints. Boom, hits the hole sweetly, starts to take off, plants on the right foot. Mm. He got a little gimpy there, didn't he?
He did. You know, we know as he continues to regain, get back to full strength, I mean, that's going to be a touchdown without question. So, but the fact that he showed that burst and that explosiveness that you expect from him was a good sign for all of us. And eventually that's going to be a touchdown for us.
How did New Orleans neutralize Percy Harvin for the entire game?
Well, a lot of it had to do with their ability to really pressure our quarterback and keep him off kilter, because we had some things set up for Percy, but we couldn't always get the ball to him.
Is it different this week against the Redskins, defensively speaking?
The Redskins are not, I don't want to say conventional, but we should have a chance to do some things with what we're trying to get accomplished. They are a very good defense. They're playing a lot better than they were early in the season. They really improved. But we think there are some opportunities there for us.
Do you think Jim Kleinsaucer will retire at the end of the year?
You know, that is a possibility. We'll learn more here in the next few days. But I know coming into this season, that was something that was weighing on his mind. And I'm sure we'll have a decision here pretty soon.
How's Rex Grossman playing for the Redskins?
He's really improved. His game has really been elevated. Part of it is due to their ability to run the football. They've gotten better at running the ball, which has taken some pressure off of Rex, and he's making some good plays for him.
That rookie, Roy Helu, how's he look on film?
He's a guy who has probably helped Rex as much as anything. He's done a good job of running some of their run plays and creating some situations that make it a little bit easier for the quarterback. They are a play-action pass team, and that keeps Rex out of drop-back situations, and it's due to Roy doing a good job of moving the chains.
So if they had to reconstruct their offense a little bit after they lost the H-back Chris Cooley?
They have, and they've gone more to Roy and creating play action along with some gadgets. I mean, they're running reverses, flea flickers. They're doing a lot of things to try to create offense around the personnel that they do have.
How did they beat the New York Giants?
The turnovers were big in that ball game. I mean, they had three interceptions that really put them on short fields and made it hard for the New York Giants to get back in the game. And New York with Eli, they've been very good at coming back in the fourth quarter. But Washington's defense really stood up and made some plays in the fourth quarter.
See you Saturday. Thanks for the conversation.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck. Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. We'll talk about the offensive line and also a high school tackle from Eden Prairie committing to Stanford. That next when we're joined by Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen, happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings offensive line coach Jeff Davidson. Mr. Davidson, happy holiday season, sir. Is the family getting along okay?
They are, yes. To some degree, I should say. We've had our challenges as a family, just with injuries and that type of thing. But,
yeah.
You know, happy holidays to you as well. Good to be here.
Family getting along better than your hip?
Yeah, I would say.
What's wrong with your hip?
My family's on the mend. They're on the up and up. I'm actually getting a little bit worse. I've got a hip that needs to be replaced, and so I'm sure everybody's had a chance to see me hobbling along the sideline during the game, and you know, that's something that I'll take care of during the off season. And you know, that's right now I'm trying the best I can not to focus on that at all, which is tough to do sometimes.
Any consideration to doing your part of the job during the games from the booth so you can sit down?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it for I would say maybe a good 1 to 2 seconds. That's not my speed. I'd much rather be right on top of the action. I like being able to come to the sideline, discuss everything that just happened during the series, and you know, I wouldn't know what to do if I was in the booth. I really wouldn't. I'd be bored.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a slight on guys that are in the booth. I like being right on top of the action.
So if the protection breaks down, the team is losing, and the hip hurts, you just look into the sky and say, why?
Well, I'll say this. If you, what I try to do is, you know, all those things, and you know, we try to talk as an offensive line all the time about you cannot ever let the score dictate the way you're acting and your actions. We try to go out each series, whether we're ahead or behind, it does not matter. And so that part's easy to control, you know, as far from our perspective. The protection thing, we have to each series, you make sure that guys understand. And so there's no repeat errors. There are errors in football. It does occur. We wanted to keep those to a minimum and make sure we don't have error repeats.
From 2-12 into Saturday's game, Christmas Eve against the Redskins, obviously it's been rough. Have you ever been through anything like this professionally as a player or a coach? I know you won 3 rings with the New England Patriots, played for the Broncos, coached up and down the NFL. Ever been through one of these?
Well, I would say that, I look back. You don't have to go look back very far. I won 2 games last year with the Carolina Panthers. So,
jeez.
Unfortunately, yeah, I have. And so I guess you can blame me for this. But, no, the reality of the situation is none of us are accepting it. None of us are satisfied or just taking it as that's the way it is. Our focus is solely on going out there and trying to perform to the best of our abilities to be able to beat the Washington Redskins. And I don't think any of our players have actually taken any time off. If anything, they've knuckled down a little bit more this week, and Coach Frazier's done a great job of keeping the players focused.
You mentioned your family, and your son Nick was a left tackle for the Eden Prairie High School football team, state champions after winning the prep bowl, and he suffered a pretty significant injury. Was it the game in front of it or 2 games in front of it? And give us an update on your son Nick.
It was 2 in front, and you know, he was able to still make it to the games. He was on the sidelines for both of the victories following that, and Nick's never been one about the individual achievements. He's always been about the team and enjoying the fact that the rest of the team was able to have success. And, you know, he was able to relish within that. And that was, you know, I think he's just as happy for the rest of the team as he would be if he was playing.
Yeah. And I saw you the morning after the injury. I think the team was going on a road trip and you had just gotten here. And, you know, being a dad, you were obviously devastated over the injury. What was it, an ankle injury?
Yeah, he had actually broke his ankle, and it was actually dislocated to the point where they ended up having to do surgery the next morning on it. And but, you know, all that being said, it's better than a lot of other injuries that I've seen. And, you know, I know that he's not going to have a problem healing up, and he'll be better than he was when he had the injury.
Earlier in the season, we chatted about his possibilities of playing at the next level, which is Division I college football. You had mentioned some pretty big-name schools who were interested in him at the time. You attended Ohio State. Did this injury at all affect his future on the Division I level? Do we have any clarity on that?
You know, there's I would say that all the schools were really good about that. I called and made personal contact with a lot of the coaches. They, in turn, made contact with him and, you know, voiced the fact that they were not going to look at that injury as being anything but a temporary setback. And so that as far as any of the coaching, or excuse me, the search for colleges, nothing changed on that front.
But yeah.
It's funny you bring it up because just as of last night, he did commit to Stanford.
Wow.
So I couldn't be more proud of him at this point. And, you know, and it all goes back to he's got a great opportunity for an awesome education.
That's fantastic. What was that process like as a parent, taking him through that, helping him make the right decision for himself, knowing you went to Ohio State, you got Urban Meyer there now? You know, what was that process like?
You know, it was actually pretty simple because you basically weighed out all the options at each of the schools. I didn't have to add a whole lot because he's plenty smart. I couldn't, you know, there's nothing I could add to any of the thoughts on that. But he was able to look at the pros and cons of each individual school. And while all of them had something that they could add as a positive, he saw this as more of a positive with Stanford.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings, talking about his son Nick Davidson, played at Eden Prairie High School and committed to the University of Stanford, where he will attend there next year. To the Minnesota Vikings taking on the Redskins this weekend, the center, John Sullivan, just got a 5-year contract extension. In his first year, he backed up Matt Burke. Second year, started every game with Favre through the NFC title game. Had a calf injury last year and assorted injuries. Also, unfortunately, lost his dad right into training camp. And, you know, that really personally and emotionally affected him. And this year, from what I understand, he's been very consistent enough to get a 5-year contract extension. Talk about his season.
Well, I think that something that John has done for us is he's been a good cornerstone for us. You know, we put a lot on our center as far as communication for not just the five guys up front, but all 11 on the field. And he's done a great job since day one on that. You know, what's funny is I'll be leaving here to go up and meet with him again because he wants to put extra time in on the film, and this is outside of our normal meeting time, and it's the kind of guy he is, and I think it's good for him, and it's great for the organization because it's a guy that really cares.
People say he's undersized, but that would only be undersized height-wise, correct? If you see centers around the league, upper body-wise, I mean, he's as big as most, correct?
I would say that, you know, the whole size thing is it's what you're willing to play to or what you're able to play to. And I think that something he has done this year is some of the things that I would have said were knocks on him or what I'd heard negative about him, I think he'd turn a lot of those thoughts around, and he's able to play bigger than he is because he's able to use leverage and uses a little bit of that wrestling background. And I think a lot of that has helped him.
How did New Orleans get such good inside pressure on Christian Ponder? We had seen outside pressure with blitzes in the early stages of Christian's career, but really for the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, specifically with the backups like Charleston and Gallette and Tom Johnson, good pressure inside.
You know, and I understand where you're going with this, and quite honestly, as a whole, really, as our organization, we're trying to look forward to what we're doing this next week with the Redskins, and I try not to look back on that. We've already left that game and moved on.
So. Is it different for the offensive lineman, Jeff, blocking for Toby Gerhart compared to Adrian Peterson? And if so, how do you set it up differently?
You know, we don't tell them who's in the game. So as far as how we block it and if it's different for the two, we really don't. I think Bill always has a set of plays that he likes for both of those guys, and that's really where it plays more into than others. But I don't even try to get into that realm with him on that. That's something that he deals solely with, and I try to stay with just the basics of what the individual plays are, regardless of who's back there.
With your offensive line expertise over the years, player, coach, do you think Charlie Johnson is best suited as a tackle or a guard?
You know, it's funny you use the word expertise as offensive line, but no, I think that he's Something that he has done for us this year, and something I think we all have to look at as a positive, is he's taken everything that we've asked him to do, and he has become what I would consider to be a true battler on the field. As to what he fits better, I think he's the consummate team guy, and he's willing to play whatever area of need or whatever position of need we have.
Well, what kind of season do you think right tackle Phil Loadholt has had?
I think that, as you would look at, now combine all those seasons or the things he's done this season, which we'll do more when we get to the truly off season to really figure out the individual games and that type of thing.
Yeah.
He's grown in some areas. He's stayed the same in others. I think that, unfortunately, I put a lot of that on myself. I've got to be able to get him to play more consistent, and that's yeah. That's really on me. I have to coach better so that he's able to play more consistently throughout the season.
With the Redskins, the adversary this weekend, Mike Shanahan, when you played for the Denver Broncos, he was on the staff, correct?
Yes, he was our quarterback coach at that time, as I think back, and that's I know him well.
Yeah.
A lot of respect for him. I mean, he was able to do great things, obviously, with the Broncos after I'd left. I'm wondering if that had something to do with me or him. I think he's done a great job. I think he's a good football coach.
Well, yeah, you look at the Carolina Panthers record last year, the Vikings record this year. You got your hip injury, and now you're talking in self-deprecating fashion about Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
I feel like instead of being Paul Allen, I should be Tony Robbins right now, walk on some calls and
you have somewhere I can lay down here?
It can be done. It will be done.
No, quite honestly, I do try to take each day and look at it from a positive aspect. And, I don't think I really need that. I just know that I try to make light of it. So
can Brandon Fusco be a starting guard in the NFL?
That's a great question. I think that what Brandon has done is each day he's gone out here, he's worked as hard as we've tried to drive him to work, and he's made great strides. Well, that has yet to be determined, to be perfectly honest with you, and that's something that he will control solely.
How do you expect Washington to attack the offensive line? We mentioned New Orleans put a lot of pressure on up the middle. We've seen it from the outside. The blitzing the Minnesota Vikings with the rookie quarterback has been quite in vogue. How do you think the Redskins will attack you?
I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different, obviously. There's, they stay they're pretty consistent with the way that they approach first and second down, with the way that they align. They do bring some different pressures off of that, and a lot of that has to do with the outside linebackers. And when they get into their sub stuff, predominantly third down, they mix it up quite a bit, and they'll bring a lot of different looks.
What was it like working with Bill Belichick the years you were in New England?
Wow, that's I would say that the football that I learned there was actually. I learned quite a bit, is what I should say.
Yes.
And, it was just something that, I look back there, I think about it all the time, and things that I learned from him. And situational football stands out as the biggest thing in the awareness of those situations.
How does he teach it? What's different from other places you've seen?
I would say that the only thing that sticks out is, he'll take a certain section of practice, and that's what he really focuses on, and he gets the players to... I'll buy into what the situation is, and everybody has their style of approaching that.
Mm-hmm. What about Steve Hutchinson? What kind of season has he had?
Well, I would say that Steve has been. I mean, Steve's has been a true pro for us. He's a leader in our room. He's the guy that will make me. He's my conscience. As I try to explain things and put things in and install. He's the one that will ask all the questions and make sure that I've got all my T's crossed and I's dotted and all those things. And, I would say that he's a very, very detailed guy. And, I really appreciate that about him.
2-12 aside, I really appreciate your conversation. And most importantly, congratulations on your son, Nick. That's really, really interesting.
Thank you very much.
News.
I couldn't be more proud.
I know he and you have worked hard for that, and he's going to go to Stanford, play football for Stanford for Meeton Prairie High School. And congratulations. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks. Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Defensive end Jared Allen is next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. And welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen, happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings defensive end Jared Allen. Happy holidays, my friend.
Thank you very much. It's It's a good time of the year.
Yeah, you read that story in the Star Tribune where Dan Wiederer caught up with you, and you were talking about your daughter and just putting things in perspective. And that's one side of life when you leave the facility. The other side is the professional part. It's 2-12 into the Redskins game. And, you know, I know despite where you are right now, you have a lot of professional pride, not only with what you do, we can see that on the field, but there has to be some sense of embarrassment with where this record is right now because of how much you care about it, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you weren't embarrassed, then, you know, you're not a true competitor, I think. You know, as far as, you know, my professional pride, I mean, this is what the Wolves pay me to do. And every time I step on that field, I'm going to represent the Vikings and myself to the best of my ability. And that's the only way I know how to play. And not only that, just the respect. One reason I play is the respect of the people that played before me. You know, I want to go out there and I want to be the best at what I do. And, you know, you can't, and even in tough times, you know, you can't let that wane. You can't let, you know, the circumstances, or I guess determine the outcome you're going to put on the field or what you're going to put on the field. So for me, it's just focusing on the positives and, you know, going out there and having a good time and representing and just trying to do my thing a couple more times and give the fans something to cheer about.
What kind of attention do you see on a game-by-game basis, or does it change? For instance, in the Detroit game, the second Detroit game, Brandon Pettigrew had a really big first half. But so did you.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, we saw Pettigrew handcuffed to Backus.
Yeah.
You slowed down, but so did their passing game.
Yeah, you know.
Doesn't it work that way?
It really does. That's why, you know, I say if people want to chip me, you know, more power to them. Because, I mean, they got to take a guy out of their offense to focus on me. And, you know, I was actually laughing at one play of the New Orleans game. I came around the edge, and there was three guys chasing me. You know, I had Bushrod on my hip. I saw the guard cover this way, and the center was peeling back on me. The guy gave me a chuckle, but you know, those are the things that happen, and you do draw attention. It is game by game, but there's situations in the game where you can still create matchups. So as far as, you know, if we can get a lead, that does a lot of things. You know, now you're forcing a team to spread out, and you're forcing them to be one dimension. If you can shut down the run, if you can be really good on first and second down, now they're in third and long situations, third and eight plus. They got to get guys out. There's ways to defeat a chip. You know, if a chip is coming on me, sometimes that communication between a back and a lineman just gets skewed.
Yeah.
Lineman might think he has chip out. You know, guy might step up to try to block a linebacker, and you can get, you know, gaps in the protection. So, you know, whatever it is, I figure, you know, it's better than them just thinking I'm worthless and leaving me over there by myself. So, you know, I guess the attention is a sign of respect. So, you know, have fun with it. And it's like playing blackjack. You got to embrace the 12. You know what I mean? Embrace the suck. Embrace the conflict,
right,
and just move forward. And there's always a way to get through it.
If you got a 16 and you're looking at a king, you're not going to stand pat. You got to hit.
You
got to
hit. You just got to go for it, right? At some point, sometimes you got to shoot your gun and just see where the bullets fly.
What's the byplay like on the defensive line? Like when you line up opposite Jermon Bushrod, Jeff Backus, Chad Clifton, Marshall Newhouse, any of these guys you've seen all year, what's the byplay like? Is there a lot of talking? Is there a lot of trash talking? Or are you guys just too tired?
Earlier in my career, I used to talk a lot. And I had fun. Me and Pat used to talk a lot out here. You know, I'm getting older, and as you know, I last few years I've been trying not to cuss anymore. You know, so you know, my trash talking has been waned a little bit.
Really?
You know? And
trash talking down, game up.
Yeah, there you go. Right. You know,
wow.
And so you know, there's always conversations. You know, it's more sometimes it's that nonverbal conversation of you give them a look like, you know, you got lucky on one, or hey, you got me on that one.
Yeah.
And but yeah, there's always, you know, there's a mutual respect, and so there's always, you know, banter. Usually, you know, in between breaks and stuff, you just laugh with a guy. You know, you tell him that you know, we told him they got lucky still from 09. Obviously bitter about that still.
Right.
But yeah, you know what? It's good. It's good camaraderie. It's good respect. And you know, over the years of playing, you build relationships with guys on the field and some off the field.
Has your line mate Remy Adell, who played for the New Orleans Saints in 09, has he shared anything with you from that season or what the approach was in the game?
Yeah, it hurt Brett. And
cut the head off the beast.
Yeah, basically hurt Brett, good turnovers. So, you know, we don't like to talk about it. We're still a sensitive subject around here. But I got to give him respect. He's a Viking now, and he hasn't even worn the ring, so that's good.
Jared Allen, Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com coming up shortly. We're going to get into the Redskins game momentarily. But a few weeks ago, and if you're not real comfortable comfortable talking about this. I'll respect it. I was listening to Vikings Country with Mus, the show you do at Mall of America. Might have been the week before you were set to play the Denver Broncos. And when the Tim Tebow conversation was a little hotter than it is now, you, at the end of the show, were professing faith on the radio and what matters to you and what really matters most to you now compared to some previous years without being the soapbox type figure that some others are. And I'm just curious, when did this come about in your life? How did it come about in your life? And like you said, you don't cuss anymore. I came up to you after a road game. It must have been 3 weeks ago, and I said, that makes you want to cuss, doesn't it? And you said, no, I'm fine. And you didn't. And it was after the Lions game, actually. Yeah. And it's just a different you. And for those of us around here frequently, we see it. We know what we're talking about. But the public doesn't necessarily understand. Is there anything you can explain?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in the church. I mean, both my parents are Christians. And, you know, so I've always been a Christian. Obviously, I used to be far from perfect, and I still am far from perfect. But, you know, as I get older, as I grow, it's a growing up process. And, you know, my best friend's dad, he married my wife and I, and he was my pastor from when I was younger in high school and stuff. He used the comment, you know, there's enough a-holes in this world. This world needs more moral heroes.
Yeah.
And it really, I guess, sunk in as I got married, as I, you know, kind of, you know, when I started getting towards the end of my career in Kansas City, you know, realizing that, you know, being young and dumb and stupid isn't an excuse anymore. And so for me, I just, you know, really trying to get back to where my moral thread and my behavior match up. And that's really what it's been. And then as I grow in my faith, you know, you start focusing on different things and different things become more important to you. And, you know, one thing back in, it was 2009, I said, you know, I train. I work so hard for football. You know, I sacrifice. I don't eat certain things, and you know, I work out hard. I train all these hours of the day, but the most important thing to me is my faith. Yeah, what have I sacrificed for that? And that's when I made the decision to start making some little changes in my life, as far as just stop cussing. If I can stop cussing,
yeah.
You know what? That'll lead to greater things. More discipline in my daily Bible reading, and implement. And you know, what I've found is, for me personally, When I quit being so selfish, when I started giving back to God, He blessed me even more. And you know, and like what I tell people, I'm not gonna rub my faith in your face ever. Now, if you ask me about it, I will tell you what God's done in my life and
like
how
I did.
And how I believe. You know, but like I said, I'm far from perfect. I'll never cast judgment on anybody else. Everybody's got their own path they're gonna take. And you know what? If I can live my life right and people can see that, not even from a faith standpoint, just from a moral ground, you know, I think, especially in our business, there's enough immorality going on. You know, for me, it's not just okay just to say it. You know, I think you really have to live by your actions. So for me, that's just kind of the way I've grown up, and I've been blessed with a beautiful wife, a beautiful baby, and like I said, my perspective changed, my priorities changed, and it's funny because the lower I put football down, you know, on my list, the more fun I've actually had playing football, and you'll see a better result this year.
Yeah, is there a certain level of peace that you're able to achieve with the way you look at things now?
Absolutely. I think, you know, and part of it is, and we talk about it in chapel a lot, is not to focus on the circumstances. You know, for me, my focus is on Christ, and my focus is on my family. And, you know, again, are you going to get down? Absolutely. Are things going to bug you? Absolutely. Do I get frustrated? Absolutely. But I can look at the negative side, and that's what I did last year. Last year, I let a lot of the negativity around here affect just my overall attitude. And so when I went back and self-scouted myself, I said, you know what? There's one thing I can do. I can bring a positive attitude to work. And if I have that positive attitude on game day, I'm going to go out and have fun. That's when I'm at my best.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just been, you know, I could look at all the negative. I could look at the 2-12 record.
Yep.
Or I could look at the fact that, you know, I got a beautiful wife.
Yep.
I'm alive. I have a job in one of the worst economies in the history of the United States,
yep,
minus the Depression.
Yep.
You know, I'm able to provide for my family. I'm able to do certain things. And for me, those are all positive. And you know what? I get to go out and I get to have fun. I could be sitting behind a desk hating my life, but I get to go out and I get to play a game for fun and, you know what, entertain the crowd. And you know, I think as I get older, I do realize the importance, especially now having a kid, of being a positive role model. I mean, even if we don't ask for it, I think parents should be the first role model, first of all. But we are in a situation where people are going to look to you. And for me, you know, that's why I stay with the Tebow thing. I really don't have a problem with all the attention he's getting, because you know what? For once, he's getting there's a good attention. There's there's moral attention. Whatever your faith is, that's your you know business.
Yep.
But the fact that here's a guy, and the attention is about positive behavior, a positive message. And for me, I think that's so awesome. In this world, there's so much negativity, and there's so much, you know, and especially on our profession, there's a lot of negativity. You always hear about the bad, and get some good pub, that's awesome.
And one of the things that I appreciated with you is that it's not like you just snapped your fingers and said, hey, I think I'm going to try this. Is there were times in Kansas City where people had to pick you up off the ground.
Absolutely.
And it almost all was gone. There'd be no money. There would be no wife. There might not be this beautiful baby. And you were given chances 2, 3, maybe even 4. So therefore, you can call back on that and say, whoa, I see that and how I did that, and that was no good, and now this is how it has to be, and it's working out well.
Oh, absolutely, and you know what? That's part of life. You know, adversity builds patience and character. It really does. And I think, you know, everybody's going to slip up in life. I mean, that's just the way it is. None of us are going to be perfect. I'll never be perfect. I'll probably have shortcomings, you know, every day. But again, if you can learn from those, and I think that's why I tell people, I've never had a profound experience or nothing like that. You know what? People say, what's the difference? And I tell you, it's a constant growth. I don't think I'll ever be done growing. You know, I'm sure my outlook on life when I'm 50 will be completely different than what my outlook on life is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's kind of the human process of how you go and for me, faith is a part of that. So therefore I grow in that. You know, my relationship with my wife is constantly going to be evolving and growing. I'm going to be learning new things as a parent. I'm already been taken by, you know, I've already had a plan and I already had to go wing it on, you know, on being a parent on certain things, because things just don't always happen the way you plan. So I think, you know, having those adversities in your life to call back on really build the character of what you can become. And like I said, you just can't be so stubborn to think that my way is the right way. And you know what? I'm always trying to grow. I'm always trying to, you know, progress as a human being.
Last question. How badly do you guys want to win the game Saturday?
Oh, man, that's all I want to do. We haven't won since freaking Carolina. So for me, that's all I want to do. And it's a very winnable game. You know what? We can go back there. We got good memories. We won our first game with Coach Frazier there. So
yeah.
I'm excited to go back there. I'm excited to play. I got some unfinished business. This Jason Babin character came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually proud. I got drafted with him.
Took
obviously,
the lead.
He was a little higher. He had 6 in the last 2 weeks. This guy came out of nowhere. So I got a little extra motivation to get my lead back and finish this year strong.
That was great. Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate you.
Jared Allen, defensive end, Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. We'll handicap the Vikings and the Redskins with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com when we return to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. To Winter Park, welcome back. I'm Paul Allen. We handicap the Vikings and the Washington Redskins very shortly with Vikings.com guy, but first with wall-to-wall sports and award-winning wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. Just one more reason why Buffalo Wild Wings is the home of tailgating. Wings, beer, sports, and Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. A Vikings Redskins, your thoughts?
Hey, PA, thanks for having me. Well, I take a look at this Washington team. It's a team that's been up and down this season, just as they were last year. They're 5-9 coming into this game. They started 3-1. Looked like they might be a surprise team in that division, the NFC East, but then they lose 6 straight coming out of their Week 4 bye, lost 6 of their last 8. So just really an up and down team. But when I look at this team, the thing I look at immediately is their defensive front 7. They run a 3-4 defense. Their 3 down linemen being Adam Carricker and Stephen Bowen, kind of on either side of nose tackle. Barry Cofield. Now, Washington got Barry Cofield from the Giants, Stephen Bowen from the Cowboys, beefed up the middle of their defense. They got 4 pretty good linebackers on the outside, or 2 on the outside, 2 on the inside, 4 pretty good linebackers. And Brian Arakpo rushing the edge, rookie Ryan Kerrigan rushing from the edge, those guys combining for something like 14.5 sacks. So, I mean, just a really talented front 7, and the Vikings offensive line is going to have to be buttoned up this game because those guys can be disruptive.
And defensively speaking, for the Vikings going against the Redskins offense, the Redskins will start rookies at left tackle and left guard. Mm-hmm. So the inconsistency that is the Redskins, either due to injury or suspension, like Trent Williams and tight end Fred Davis, they have their own problems over there, too.
Yeah, they're going to have to be buttoned up as well. And you know, PA, you and I talked about this earlier. You said something about it first, and I went back and looked at some of the numbers. Mike Shanahan is known as a head coach, an offensive coach that really likes the running game, zone blocking scheme. He had great running games in Denver. He's had some pretty good running backs here in Washington. But in that six-game losing streak that I referenced just a few minutes ago, Washington really got away from running the ball. They got very pass-heavy.
Yep.
And their numbers for the season, they pass 60% of the time, which is the sixth highest in the NFL, and that's very uncharacteristic for Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
During that six-game losing streak, they averaged 17 rushes per game, which is not very many at all. Now, they've gone 2-2 in their last four. They won at New York last week, and in those four games, they've averaged 31.5 rushes a game.
Jeez.
Had 40 last week against the Giants. So, when they've started to play better, it's because they started rushing the ball. They have a pretty good rookie running back, Roy Helu, and as you said, two rookies who are going to start at guard, so they really are going to want to rely on the running game and try and be physical with this Vikings defense. It's a good challenge for the Vikings.
So have the Washington Redskins become a run-first team in a pass-happy league?
Maybe they have, you know. But
it's working okay.
Well, I don't know if it's working okay for them.
2-2.
But they are 2-2 lately. Now, run-first team in a pass-happy league, it seems like the wrong way to be. But, I mean, PA, you know, you look at San Francisco. Wouldn't you describe them as that type of team?
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
That type of team. Denver.
Kind of.
Denver winning the AFC West with
yes.
that style.
Agreed.
So it can happen. The Vikings have done it in the past. The Vikings did it as recently as 2008 and 2009. Brett Favre had a career year, yes, but that was Adrian Peterson's second-best rushing season,
yep.
2009. So it can be done. You can win by running the ball and playing good defense. Washington has done it the last four games.
Well, we chatted about it earlier today with, we chatted about it earlier in the week after the Monday press conference, the fans' approach to having Adrian Peterson, giving him that big deal,
yeah.
and being a run-first team in a pass-happy league, and we joke around flippantly a lot about it, but you can the way I correlate it is I take it to the NBA, and I look at it from the old Jordan Pippen standpoint.
Okay.
If Adrian Peterson can be the Pippen, you know, as good as anybody in the league, but not necessarily where it always starts and stops, if you could pass better around him while still having him, that's how you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and maybe it is. And the second part of that strategy then, because in my opinion, Adrian has transcended the two or three good years out of a running back.
Yeah.
With all due respect to some of those guys, Joseph Addai comes to mind right away.
Right.
A little bit of D'Angelo Williams, the Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams experiment. Really good for a couple years running the ball, and then they kind of fell off. I don't think Adrian's that type of guy. I think he is a very high potential Hall of Fame type of guy that's going to be like this for many seasons. So I don't think you have to worry about him dropping off. So now, the big thing for the Vikings is, and they got the big piece already in place with Christian Ponder, you got to develop the passing game. And it's really nice to be able to lean on the running game while you're developing that. And that might be something the Vikings do next season. So we have Percy Harvin here. We have Kyle Rudolph here. We'll see what happens with Shank, him being a free agent. What do we do in the draft? Is there a sneaky good receiver in the middle rounds we can
find?
Free agency. There's a really good market for free agent receivers, it looks like, right now. So it's really nice that while we're developing that passing game with Bill Musgrave, who's done it in Atlanta, with Christian Ponder, who's done some pretty good things, it's really nice to be able to lean on Adrian Peterson.
Michael, you're around here 6 or 7 days a week. The team is 2-12. The worst record in the history of Minnesota Vikings football, as you know, 3-13, 1984. Mm-hmm. Do you get the feel that the team and everybody in the organization desperately wants nothing to do with worst ever franchise lore, Mark?
I kind of do, yeah. And a lot of times I think you would hear the coach speak or the cliches that we're not paying attention to that. We're taking it one game at a time. And some of those are kind of tired cliches, but you talk to a guy like Jared Allen or a Chad Greenway or Adrian, I mean, those guys are competitive guys that don't want to be associated with that. And it's unfortunate that it's come to this point where the playoffs are obviously so far out of the picture that the source of motivation is not to be the worst ever.
Yeah.
You'd rather the source be, can we be the best ever? You'd rather that be the source of motivation. But whatever it is, man, I'm glad that these guys, they keep playing hard.
High formation behind Ponder. Vikings are 0-4 on third down. This is third and one. Kyle Rudolph in motion to the right of Ponder. Adrian's the tailback. Ponder takes the snap, gives it to Adrian. And Adrian zips through the line of scrimmage, and there he goes. Cuts to the left inside of the 40 to the 30. Tries to go back to the right at the 15, and he's tackled at the 12. Explosive run by Adrian Peterson. It's a 39-yard run, and it gives the Vikings a burst of life and a much-needed first down, trailing 14-6.